Time for our weekly catch-up with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB. Lots of political stories, got some marathon news to talk about, and an employment conference as well. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, hi, good to meet you. Yeah, lots to talk about. There's a lot going on in the RNIB at the moment.
There is. It's been a very busy week, and beyond no doubt as well. Let's talk a little bit about a conference which took place. This was around employment for blind and partially sighted people, building the careers, climbing the career ladder as well. And RNIB, along with other charities, have supported this and brought over 100 delegates together in Birmingham.
You were lucky enough to be at yourself, Alan, which was something that we pulled together across the visually impaired charity sector, you know, where we work together on a number of things, but there's been a big focus around employment historically, both, you know, what we do inside the sector, but also trying to optimize externally. And we've done quite a bit with TPT over the years on internships and those sorts of things, which have been really good actually. But we're doing some work as RNIB on really trying to set up a framework to give people support at different stages of their careers. But this conference was something that came out of the sector conversations, and we thought it would be a great idea for sort of about 100 VI colleagues, as you mentioned, in the sector to come together for a conference to really focus in on this issue, constructed by, led by, and participated in by our VI colleagues only. So real focus, real depth of knowledge and experience, obviously, and seems to have gone really well. Not only a great opportunity to meet and network and exchange ideas, but also I think real grit in the agenda and some serious actions driven out from, you know, a very, very expert and informed group of people. A few of the actions just been written up, but I think it's going to be a powerful influence in the work we're doing generally about sort of lived experience leadership. So I'm really pleased it happened, and I'm sure we'll be planning the one next year already on the back of the success of the first one. So yeah, good it happened this week.
Yeah, look forward to that. It was very good. We talk about employment in the wider kind of job market, but spotlight, we kind of turned on ourselves, if you like, on our sector and looking at that. So some real positive stuff to come from there, from charities of all sizes as well. Let's take a look at some government business now, because there has been a lot to get through, from education through to voting and beyond.
General election year across the UK, and you can't escape the political discourse, and we're heavily involved, clearly trying to inform matters that we're bothered about. So just to pick out, you know, three things this week briefly. We've been banging the drum a lot to try and make accessible voting processes work. It's a nonsense that visually impaired people can't vote secretly and accurately. And we've had a variety of work we've done with this, and lobbying civil servants and ministers. I've been personally involved quite a bit, Electoral Commission as well, you know, the devolved nations. And we had another session this week in London, particularly around the sort of London elections and the mayoral elections. Again, you know, just proving the next best showcase and forum to discuss process, technology, you know, how we can make the process better, trialling in various pilots over the last couple of years, various new devices to assist visually impaired people vote confidently and in secret. I think other things this week, one of your colleagues, Hal, was running some items on Connect Radio talking around the education report. We're massively involved in education, all the framework we published a couple of years ago to support visually impaired kids in mainstream classrooms. We, you know, that work goes on. We've been training thousands of teachers, and we know educational attainment is a massive harbinger of improving life chances, so this one doesn't go away. And in some respects, certainly in England, educational attainment stats around STEM subjects and things are improving, which is great, but we've got to make sure the visually impaired kids aren't left behind. So good that we keep going on that. And then our ongoing involvement with the DWP around access to work. We are still heavily involved. We've had contact with sort of Mel Stride, who's the Work and Pensions Secretary, to really try and put more pressure on, more resources. It's an interesting subject to analyse, actually, because the number of access to work applications has actually gone up March from January by about 5,000. Now, that might sound a bad number, because, you know, it sounds like there's a backlog. Equally, it might be a good number that you've got more people coming forwards able to access the process and the skill in which civil servants are dealing with people of different disabilities. And as you know, we've been training civil servants to be much better at being able to handle and support visually impaired candidates going through that process. But, you know, at 30,000 in the waiting list, it's still a sizable chunk of, a sizable number of people, you know, who need support. And so we will be restless at at carrying on with that. And we've done quite a lot on social media around that this week. And again, would encourage people to come forward, contacting the helpline or emailing us, and we can provide some local support to help people move through that process.
A very busy week in terms of the political work as well. We will give contact details a little bit later and how you can get more information on the topics we're discussing and more, of course. We also had the London Marathon. Always good to talk about fundraising. You know, that's what helps charities do the work they do. And we had some runners in there and they all made it. I imagine they've got some pretty sore feet after that, Matt, but a successful event.
I went down to support the team. I was at the sort of cheering station at mile 13, about halfway around. Then I spent a few hours at the finishers receptions. People started coming in, as you say, with sort of sore feet and aching limbs. Look, it's a, you know, it's just generally a brilliant event. The London Marathon, massive scale, 50,000 runners, real buzz in the city, lots of people out, public transport's packed, you know, real positivity. So it's a really great thing to be involved in. And then you see the runners coming around, so many brilliant stories supporting so many great causes. For us, we had 100 runners this year, which is the biggest, and as of a couple of days ago when I last saw a tally, it had been the best London Marathon we've had in terms of sort of income generation. Great success for the fundraising team, so you know, big well done to the fundraising team, and some real great stories actually talking afterwards to some of the runners coming through, people running for their relatives, running for friends, some of our staff. You know, there's Dave Williams, one of our visually impaired staff, running with a guide. He ran around about 4 hours and ran the Manchester Marathon like the Sunday before. There's Nathan from the Welsh office who ran it in 3.5 hours. Really great time. So, you know, wherever you look, you find a great story. And at the end of the day, as you said, Alan, you know, it's a great fundraising vehicle for us. We'll probably raise about £250,000 out of the London Marathon, which is not insignificant. And, you know, real testimony to our team putting on a good event and supporting the runners. And just, again, you know, enormous thanks to 100 runners who put themselves out for many months of sort of training, you know, and 4 to 5 hours probably of torture on Sunday to come out the other side with a medal and a free pint of pint at the pub at the finishers' reception for us. But no, it was great. And I really enjoyed going down and spending the day, you know, on and around the marathon and supporting the team and the runners.
Yeah, well done to them for doing that. And a big thank you to everyone who raised funds for RNIB. And of course, we'll give you the contact details. And if you fancy trying a bit of fundraising yourself, you don't have to run a marathon or jump out of a plane. Well, you can if you want. But there's loads of ways that you can help us out with fundraising and get involved as well. Have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. And you can also contact our very helpful team on the helpline. That's 0303 123 9999. Or ask your Amazon device to call RNIB helpline. Out of time once again, Matt. Got through a lot in that, but thank you for joining us, and we'll speak to you again next week on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, Alan, great. And look, it's you know, it's an interesting, very full week, but I think it's a really quite a good week to show the spread of sort of activity and energy across the organisation on a variety of topics. But I think some deep-seated, deep-rooted, serious things being progressed around lived experience leadership and some of the political items. Maybe most pertinently voting in the run into the to the elections next week. But good to speak to you.